everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley. If it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and you can be a part of it. If you have a question, or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742. That's the number for the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have open lines at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. If you have a question, a Bible question, a practical issue that you're dealing with, we would love to point you into the Word of God. And today we're going to talk about peace. I know if you look out there in the world and ask questions of people and say, what would you really like? I mean, what's the thing that would be of most importance to you? Time and time again, people will say, I'm just looking for a little peace. I just want to experience some peace. I just want to be at rest in my soul. Well, we've got good news for you today, because the gospel is a message of peace. It delivers peace straight to the heart, and it's a wonderful thing. And we see Paul talking about that at the tail end of Romans chapter 4 and the beginning of Romans chapter 5. And he says this, it will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So any believer that is on the planet, because they've been justified by the Lord Jesus Christ, they have peace with God. And as people rest in that, rest in the fact that they've been declared righteous, then they can experience the peace of God. And this is such a powerful, powerful passage, and it really is one of the wonderful implications of the resurrection for us here and now, the fact that we can be at peace with God and at peace with ourselves. And boy, that's what we're looking for, isn't it, guys?
Oh, Bob, this is a big deal. You know, God's not ticked off at us. He's not frustrated with us. He's not angry with us. And so many teachings out there, you kind of get the impression that, well, yeah, I'm saved, but until I get to heaven, you know, God is pretty disgusted with me and my performance and where I'm at, and I'm not growing up quickly enough. And, you know, we start to think all these things, and in many ways we project maybe what our parents thought of us, or what we heard in church, or we start projecting father figures onto our Heavenly Father. And I love Romans because it really clears this up for us. I mean, even as early as the first chapter in Romans, Paul opens with grace to you and peace from God our Father. And then, as you read, Romans 5, we have peace with God. And then in Romans 8, it says, the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. So you even look at the letter closing, he talks about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is the kingdom of God. So this is our destiny. This is what God wants us to know, that we're okay with him. We're more than okay. We're off the charts righteous. He's pleased with who we are. The blood of Jesus has taken away our sins. We've been united with Christ. We're as close as we can get. So, you know, what's it like to be around somebody that's in a bad mood about you all the time and ticked off at you and measuring you and you fall short? Well, I mean, you're walking on eggshells around that person. But what God's done for us in the gospel is he's saying, you can be comfortable around me and approach me with boldness and confidence, because I love you and I like you, and we are at perfect peace with each other. That is a big deal.
Yeah, we did a YouTube video, and we sent it out today via email to our email subscribers, and we address this very thing, how to have peace with God, or how to have God's peace. And if you're out there and want more information about this, I'd certainly encourage you to go to our YouTube channel and subscribe to that, or fill out the form on our website and join our email list. and you'll get this kind of information in your email inbox on a weekly basis. But in that video, we looked at a definition of the word peace and found it in one of the dictionaries that I use very often. And it says the tranquil state of a soul assured of salvation. And if you know you're righteous, if you know that you've been made righteous and that you have the very righteousness of Jesus Christ, then that puts your soul in this tranquil state. You're at rest. You're at peace. You're not trying to earn God's favor. You're not trying to work feverishly to get into his good graces. You know you're in his good graces. You know, as Paul wrote in Romans 8, that God is for you. And if he is for you, who can be against you? And if he is for you, then whatever life throws your way, you can trust him, and you can experience the peace that surpasses understanding in the midst of it. And the world will look at you and think you're just nutty. But you're not, because your soul is at rest in Jesus Christ. Why? Because you have been justified by faith. You're at peace with God. Folks, this is such good news. If you're struggling with experiencing peace in your life, we really want to point you into the Word of God and give you some practical help today, and so that when you go to bed tonight, your soul can be at rest. Your soul can be at peace because you know you've been declared righteous in the sight of God. So call right now, 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742 is the number. We would love to hear from you. Andrew Farley is here. Richard Pfeiffer is here. My name is Bob Christopher. We have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands. Last week, Richard and I got in studio and recorded his story, What's It Worth? And we want to put that into your hands. As I said at the beginning of that recording, Richard has one of the most interesting stories you will ever hear. And he wasn't a soul at rest. He didn't know the peace of God. Why? Because he was bound up in legalism in such a severe way. But over time, as he started questioning some of the beliefs that he held on to, God just started opening his eyes. And he went from fear to faith, from restlessness to rest and peace in the Lord Jesus. It will encourage the literal socks right off your feet. It is such a good story. We want to put that in your hands and let it be an encouragement to you and a tool that you can pass on to others and give them encouragement as well. And it's yours for a gift to Basic Gospel this month. Just go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button or the big banner right on the front page that has Richard's mugshot on it. And just follow all the instructions, and we'll get that CD to you as quickly as we can. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. Richard Pfeiffer here. Andrew Farley is here. We would love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. Richard?
Yeah, we've been sitting on this question for a couple of days now, and this is the right time to bring it up. I find it fascinating. It's from Jesse in Atlanta, Georgia. I've been a child of God for a while, but I often wonder, since we're reconciled to God by Jesus' death and resurrection, what was the point of his teaching? For example, he taught the commandments. I know he was teaching to Jews who were under the old covenant. I know it seems that obedience to Jesus is the result of our salvation, not the cause. But I do wonder sometimes, is there a way to reconcile this without consulting Paul, like from Jesus' own teaching, perhaps?
That is a great question. Yeah, I think that you see Jesus doing two things in his ministry, and you can see these things in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You don't have to go over to Paul or the book of Hebrews. You don't have to go to Peter, James, or John to understand what Jesus is doing. I do think, though, that it takes a bit of spiritual discernment as the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and we're looking at Jesus on one hand saying, you know, there's love, and I am the light of the world, and there's the coming of the Holy Spirit, and there's my return one day, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, and all of this beautiful and comforting and love-focused teaching. And then, you know, 30 minutes later, it's cut off your hand and pluck out your eye and be perfect. And hey, rich man, go sell everything in order to enter the kingdom. So I think that if we're in our right mind and we're looking at the words of Jesus, we really do need to confront this question and say, you know, it appears there's two different missions or two different messages or two different audiences or something. What's going on here, Jesus? Because in many ways, he was a stumbling block. I mean, he was a stumbling block for the Jews of that day. He was a stumbling block for the Pharisees in particular. He was a stumbling block for that rich man who interviewed him. So, you know, you say, for example, all right, let's take Nicodemus. Nicodemus was questioning, and Jesus says you have to be born again. Okay, fair enough. That's what we are. We're born again. But then you look at this rich young ruler who's asking about the kingdom, and Jesus says, go sell everything. So Jesus, which is it? Is it go sell everything, or is it be born again? And at that point, I think you discover that any time Jesus is talking to someone who is filled with pride and thinks that they know everything and thinks that they are righteous before God through their actions, then what he's doing is he's amping things up. He's showing them there's no way they can do this according to the law. He's showing them the law is not just perfect. The law is perfect and impossible. And that's the whole point. And then when people are considering the fact that they need to approach God humbly and that they are sinners and that they are in need of a real salvation that they can't produce, well, that's when Jesus is sharing with them this new way to come, the new covenant in his blood, being born again, getting the Holy Spirit, calling God Father. You know, all of these things are foreshadowings of the new covenant. So in summation, guys, I would say Jesus had two missions. He had two messages. One was to bury people under the law and its demands. And then the other was to prophesy or present this new way that was coming through the cross and the resurrection, this new way called grace.
Yeah, that's really, really great insight. And you know, we went on a trip to Israel several years ago, and we were at the Mount of Beatitudes, and we were looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and then we were at another place called Beit She'an, which is a just incredible little city that they've dug up, and you just see just all kinds of fascinating stuff. And in both of those places, there's a message about the heart. And, you know, Jesus is concerned with the heart, isn't he? And if we're just concerned with the outside, then we're missing what Jesus is concerned with. And that's the great news of the gospel, is that we get a brand new heart, one that's able to respond to him, one that's able to love him, one that's able to trust him in day-to-day life. And that's the great news. And anybody that was self-righteous, they were trying to hide the fact that their heart wasn't right. And God, Jesus could see. And he just lifted the hood up on their cars and said, hey, look in there.
Yeah, there's no heart at all.
It's dirty. It's nasty. It needs cleanse. It needs a new heart. And that's what I'm here to give you, is a brand new heart. And I think once we understand that, this whole thing all of Jesus's teaching just falls right into place. It makes sense to us. And it's really exciting to see it in that context. It really is.
There's a reason why so many people, when they're first asking about, well, what part of the Bible should I read, they're pointed to the Gospel of John. Because John is the most new covenant of all the Gospels, because he has so much of Jesus is prophesying these things. The woman at the well, Nicodemus, the conversation about if you're in my hands, no one can take you out. And we never think of it in those terms. We say, well, because John wrote so simply and directly, it is different than that.
Yes,
it really is.
Yes, indeed. Well, we have this question that comes to us from one of our YouTube viewers. And she said, I have some people trying to steal my peace and assurance of salvation because I don't wear a head covering. So what kind of encouragement can we give for a situation like that? I know my mom, she used to go to a Bible study with some ladies in our town years and years ago, and every time they opened up the Bible, they either had to have a hat or some type of head covering. And so she was a visitor one time, and they gave her a little doily to put on top of her head as the word was being read, because they were following what Paul had said in 1 Corinthians 11. But Andrew, what in the world is that passage talking about?
Well, I mean, you have to factor in the idea that this instruction is not occurring within a vacuum. I mean, there's a reason that Paul talks about covering a woman's head in the city of Corinth and doesn't bring it up for Philippi, doesn't bring it up for Galatia. You get the idea. It's not mentioned in Romans. So what is going on here? Well, there was apparently some sort of a custom among women, or rather loose women, to say, hey, I'm available, and I need to signify my availability sexually or whatever to the world around me by either having short hair or being bald-headed, and that was a thing. And, you know, you look at today's equivalent. Well, it has nothing to do with that. I guess you could say that it would be much like today, wearing a mini skirt on the side of the street, slinging your purse round and round while you're chewing gum and saying, hey, guys, I'm over here. But that was the way that a woman could say, hey, I'm available for purchase. And so Paul is really letting these Corinthian believers know that because they have a new identity, they have a new dignity. And because they have a new heart, they have a new way to conduct themselves with regard to attitude and action. And so we really have to factor in the culture of that day and what was happening in the city of Corinth in terms of that immorality. So today you say, well, what can I take away from instruction like that? Well, take away that your identity is in Christ and that your dignity is in Him. And so in the attitudes and actions that you take on, let the outside reflect the inside. And so that's really what was behind Paul's instruction. It kind of reminds me of when he tells the young pastor Timothy, you know, don't let women braid their hair. Well, today, braided hair is a pretty conservative hairdo. It kind of reminds us of Laura Ingalls Wilder from Little House on the Prairie. But we again have to say, okay, what was Paul after? Let the outside match the inside. Let Jesus Christ be your morality, your dignity, your righteousness, and then in attitude and action, reflect that on the outside.
Well, let me ask this question, because, you know, there's standards out there of behavior that people are trying to foist on others. And part of what's happening with this viewer is that she's being made to feel guilty for not following this practice.
Yeah.
And these folks are trying to rob her of her peace and her assurance of salvation. And so how do we stand firm, and how do we, you know, just let those things kind of roll off of our backs and just say, hey, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm standing firm in who I am in Jesus Christ.
Well, I think we have to find our righteousness and the source of it, and his name is Jesus. And so I'm not righteous by clothing. I'm not righteous because of a covering on my head. I'm not right with God because of something that I wear or don't wear. We have to remember that our righteousness comes from the blood of Jesus and the resurrection. The blood washes away our unrighteousness, and the resurrection makes us righteous. So, you know, somebody comes to us and they say, yeah, but, and there's, you know, 50 flavors of yeah, but out there. Yeah, you're righteous, but you can be super righteous. Yeah, you're a Christian, but you can be a super Christian. Yeah, you're kind of close to God, but you can get closer if you just, and they'll fill in the blank there with whatever sales pitch it is. And in order to let that wash off of me or, you know, go right over me and move on ahead, I simply have to fix my eyes on the simplicity of the gospel, fix my eyes on Jesus as the one who's made me righteous by his blood, by his resurrection, by his life in me. He set the stage for me to be right with him forever. So when somebody comes with talk about clothing or abstaining from foods or having to attend a service in a building in order to get right or stay right or having to give money to stay right. I mean, you name it, dunking yourself in water to stay right. There are so many different flavors of getting right and staying right with God, but there's only one truth in regard to that. We are right because of Jesus. We are right because of the resurrection. We are right forever because of his work, not ours.
Yeah, and I think this is a very important topic, and it really kind of flows into the book of Galatians. You know, Peter was there, and he's eating with the Gentiles, and then the Jews come along, the Judaizers come along, and he's fearful of them. What are they going to think of me if they see me over here eating with these Gentiles? So he distanced himself from those Gentiles, and Paul confronted him, and he's saying, you're nothing more than a people pleaser, basically. You're hypocritical. You're leading others into this same hypocrisy, and you're not acting in keeping with the truth of the gospel. And I think this is one of those things. You know, God didn't call us to be people pleasers. Mm-hmm. And they're wanting you to follow their ways just so they can say, hey, she is one of us or he is one of us. And they want to claim you as one of their disciples. And so that makes them feel better about themselves. So we have to recognize that this is one of the tools of the enemy, is this people pleasing, and we're never called to do that. We're pleasing in God's sight because of the work of Jesus Christ. Let's just stand firm right there.
Indeed.
And boy, that will help solve a lot of problems for
yes.
us, or keep us out of a lot of trouble for sure. Well, we're almost at the end of our time. Andrew, as always, thank you for being with us.
Absolutely.
Next Wednesday, you're going to be with us, and we're going to talk about something really exciting, and that's your brand-new book called Twisted Scripture. Is that correct? Did I get it correct?
Yes, Twisted Scripture, Untangling 45 Lies That Christians Have Been Told.
Yeah, I am so excited to see this book released. I think it is actually available on the market next Tuesday. If you're interested in pre-ordering, you can do that at Amazon.com. But I think this is going to be a book that is really going to help a lot of people and really answer those little pesky questions that keep you from really resting firm in your identity in Christ Jesus. Twisted Scripture, we're going to talk all about it next Wednesday. Tomorrow, we're going to be doing a teaching edition. We're going to look at 8 essential truths every single Christian needs to know. We're calling the series The Power of 8. We're going to start tomorrow with Who is Jesus Christ? And I think this is going to be a fantastic study, and we look forward to you joining us for that. In the meantime, Just a reminder, Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We would love for you to be a part of the Basic Gospel financial team. If you're interested in delivering the clear, simple, powerful message of Jesus Christ through radio to as many people as possible, come join us. Be a part of the Basic Gospel team. You can do so by going to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button and let us know that you want to be a financial partner. Well, we'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.